Our reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 11. We'll read the first 13 verses of Luke chapter 11. This is Jesus teaching on prayer. Hear now the word of God. Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And he said to them, Which of you shall have a friend, and go to him at midnight, and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, Do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And here ends the reading of God's word. Maybe you've had a particularly prayerful day recently. Perhaps your prayerful season has extended to several days, or maybe weeks, or maybe months even. We don't seem to have them consistently. Have you reflected after these times of prayer to see what lessons you might have learned about talking with God? This is the subject of Jesus' lesson here. Let me ask you to consider 2 questions this morning. Each is prompted by the Lord in Luke 11. What is your manner in prayer? And how do you think God responds to your prayers? You know what you're doing on the asking side of prayer. How is God handling the answering side of prayer? Jesus teaches us here that our prayer should be bold, active, deliberate, because God's answer will be good. Now, there's a needy disciple who comes and asks, Lord, teach us to pray. No setting is given here. Luke at chapter 11 makes a break here. And what we learn is that Jesus was praying in a certain place. And then this disciple asks him this question. And even the individual is not identified. So it's We can understand that this is a general need that is communicated through an individual. It's a question that some might be too embarrassed to ask Jesus, but it's an answer that we all need to hear. Other religious leaders in those days trained their disciples, and perhaps Jesus had a different method. Of course, the need is not for ritual. The need is for effectiveness. I have no doubt that the disciples never saw Jesus engaged in ritual prayer. He condemned the hypocrites for it, in the Sermon on the Mount. He directed his disciples not to follow the world in prayer style. He says at Matthew 6:7, when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Jesus understood more perfectly than any of us can how prayer fits into God's sovereign plan to care for each of his children. And so that's why he turns to this illustration of how you handle your children. Jesus trained people in effective praying. And this, I suggest, is the intent of the disciples' request. He wanted to know how to pray effectively. And when the Lord hears a question, he answers thoughtfully. And he answers very deliberately. And he speaks to edify. So we have here the Lord's curriculum on prayer. Jesus begins by prompting the questioner to more richly understand the nature of God's ways. He's a great teacher. And this he does in two ways here. First, he instructs on the form and content in prayer, which was probably the aim of the questioner's request. Give us a sample prayer. Tell us what petitions to ask for. So Jesus provides an example. But then he goes on and he instructs in the manner of praying. And to make this clear, he provides a parable and an exhortation. So we're going to look at both of these things. We're going to look at the form and the content of prayer first. The church has come to call the prayer form which Jesus provides the Lord's Prayer. Now, the petitions are a little bit different in Luke and in Matthew, but if you compare the two, they cover the same areas. The order of the Lord's Prayer begins with an invocation and a blessing of God and a call for God to have His will accomplished on the earth. And then, after that, we go on to a personal need that's reflected in give us day by day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. Now, the focus in the Lord's Prayer is God. The focus in the Lord's Prayer is God's name, which is His being. It's God's kingdom. It's God's work to sustain, to forgive, and to protect. And this is all very important in our praying. We can too easily be prone to utter fluffy prayers today. Prayers for a worldly age of fluff. Sometimes we approach prayer with the attitude that what matters is me in the universe. And we pray that God would massage my emotions, keep my focus on what I want, and give me the desires of my heart. And do it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus' example shows that prayer must be God-centered, God-directed, God-fearing, and God-blessing. But the main point of the parable that he goes on and gives is not form, but manner of prayer. And let me give you an analogy here as we approach the manner of prayer. Let me give you the analogy of a song. When you have a song, you have words or you have poetry attached to music. And music can add intensity, it can add emotion, it can add fluidity, clarity. And that's why people sing national anthems and hymns to God. They don't just recite them. So your manner in prayer is a little bit like the music that carries the words aloft to God. What kind of a tune are you using to bring your petitions to the Lord? Is it easy listening? Is it country with repetition, repetition, repetition? Is it bursts of Beethoven? Or is it tapestry of Bach? So Jesus really addresses here the manner of praying. Jesus teaches us that our prayers should be bold and active and deliberate. And he gives this parable of you going to a neighbor in the middle of the night, knocking on the door. And the illustration, of course, is to teach us that we should be bold toward God. And suppose one of you has a friend who shows up in the middle of the night. This is an age before refrigerators, before freezers. And, you know, when they did cooking, they started from scratch. So in the middle of the night, you're not going to, you know, start a fire and start cooking. So you want to have some bread. And Jesus is setting up an unlikely situation in order to drive home a point. You're going to go to your neighbors. You're going to knock on the door in the middle of the night. And your neighbor is going to tell you, go away. It's the middle of the night. I'm in bed. I'm not going to get up. I'm going to disturb my children if I get up. But you're going to continue to pound on the door and ring the doorbell. Because, he says, because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. The Greek word here is shamelessness. It's translated persistence, which is a very polite way of saying shameless. But Jesus uses the word shamelessness. And so, you know, this is the point. What's your manner in prayer? Is it effortless or is it diligent? These parables are a test of character. We size ourselves up according to what we've heard. When we reviewed the parable of the Good Samaritan a couple of weeks ago, we go away and we size ourselves up according to the Good Samaritan, and we know that we fall short. We're more like the Levite. We also looked at the parable of the woman who anointed Jesus' feet. So here we have a parable that asks us, what is your manner in prayer? Are you willing to go like that shameless friend and knock on God's door and shamelessly ask and seek and knock? Be diligent, be energetic, and be persevering. Or are you more like the sluggard? The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. Proverbs 13:4. The key thing here is whether you believe Jesus or whether you doubt. The Lord says in verse 9, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." And we just review what his brother James said in the first part of his letter. "Let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind." The idea here is that there's no point in asking if you don't believe that God can, that God would answer your prayer. It's praying here, as Jesus teaches this to us, is harnessing your desires to move you into action toward God. Now think about your life in the world. When you desire something new, whether it be a car or a place to live or a computer or a spouse, your desires well up and you become really preoccupied. You do research, you ask, you Google, you phone, you meet, you ask questions. And that's the attitude that Jesus says we are to have in prayer. Prayer is work. Prayer is thoughtful work. As he tells us, "For everyone who asks receives, but you have to ask. He who seeks finds, but you have to seek. And to him who knocks, it will be opened." But you may have to be shameless and continue to knock and knock and knock and knock at God's door. So how does God answer your prayers? Well, Jesus, at the end here of his parable, gives us an illustration of if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? God answers your prayers with good things only. That's what the Lord Jesus says. God answers your prayers with good things only. A father would never give evil in return for a request for good from his child. How much more the God from whom all goodness flows? He will not give you snakes for fish. He will not give you scorpions for eggs. This is not to say that you don't receive some hard things from the Lord. Sometimes hard things are good things. God knows which are which. And you know, think of your child. Your young child may come to you and ask for more dessert. But instead, you tell him to go brush his teeth and to get ready for bed. From the child's perspective, that's a hard answer. But from the parent's perspective, you know that that's a better answer than to give him more dessert. So God answers with things to strengthen your soul and to cultivate godly fruit in your life. We go through life craving dessert most of the time, and right now. By nature, we all want to be spoiled brats. We want to get everything we want right now. But God knows that we need food to be built up first, that dessert may come later. And the circumstances and the experience of life that we have provide parameters for our diet through God's providence. Even in eternity, God promises you a meal with good meat and superb wines, but he doesn't say anything about dessert. So we may have prosperity as well as adversity, but all of these things are blessings for God's elect to firm them up, to prepare their souls for the kingdom of glory, because our life here is like the grass and the flowers that fade. We're just dust. But we're going to be recreated in spiritual bodies and inherit the kingdom of glory. And there we will have an eternity of joy and peace. And we will live by sight and no longer by faith. Now the Word provides food for our souls. And the Word teaches us how to interpret the reality of providence. When we try to make sense of God's providence without reference to the Bible, we get confused. We have to come to the Scriptures to understand the nature of God's providence. And God puts together a balanced menu for us. He begins with bread here, but he also gives us discipline and training according to his word through godly preaching and meditation on the word. But Jesus here is encouraging us to persevering praying, to a constant call to God to work his will into our lives. And God will work circumstances to drive you to all of these things to cultivate good for your soul. And God always answers according to his holy will. And his holy will is different than our will. God uses the answering of our prayers to shape our will to his. When you make a request, as we see in the parable here, no is an appropriate answer to a request. So is instead. And so is you have to wait. And God answers in all those ways. Sometimes he says no for a time. Sometimes he says, try this instead of what you requested. And sometimes he says, you just have to wait. So what we have here from Jesus' teaching on prayer is that our prayer should be bold, should be active, and should be deliberate. Because God's answer, you can be sure, will be good. We must pray with holy motives and not worldly ones, not worldly ones. We pray for God's kingdom to come, for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. James, the brother of Jesus, asks the church a question. What causes quarrels and causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. So we need to push away all the distractions from effective prayer. We need to stop living in sin if we're living in sin. We need to stop aiming at instant answers. And we need to stop centering our prayers on ourselves. Pray that God would rid you of these things, of aiming at instant answers and centering your prayer on yourself. Take the initiative. Let the lovely melody of your prayer be united with a God-centered content. Your Father in heaven will be pleased with bold, active, deliberate prayer. For everyone who asks, receives, and he who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Sometimes you have to wait a long time before God will answer your prayer. But in the meantime, God is training you. He's teaching you, and he's perfecting you in sanctification. So let's be thankful that you know God. Be thankful that God knows you. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And without the Holy Spirit, you cannot pray, because the Holy Spirit is the one who unites you to Christ, who is the one enthroned in heaven and who intercedes for his people constantly. So let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we do pray that you would help us to grow up in Christ, that our prayers would not be self-centered, but would be centered on your kingdom and on the great works of Christ in the gospel and through the gospel to affect people's lives. We pray that you would give us the patience to deal with affliction and with difficulties. We pray that you would grant us joy in seeing your answers come. We pray that you would help us to live by faith and not by sight, waiting for that eternal kingdom that will be our inheritance one day, and knowing that this life in this world is a passing life, that we are pilgrims here, that we are just walking through this veil of tears and veil of difficulties and sin, and that we have your Spirit within us to guide us and to direct us upward. Help us, God, to be persistent, to be shameless in our prayers, and to know that we have one seated on the throne to whom we can appeal for mercy and for grace. Your will be done, O God our Father, in heaven. Amen.